Sorry for postponing the whole morning due to Baruch Hashem, wonderful things going on in Machane Moshava. And now we're going to take a look at these 47 psukim, noting, as I mentioned, the very terse terminology, but you're going to find that it doesn't limit Nachum again in any regard. So much so, the Chazal explained, if you open up Nachum for a moment, Chazal tell us that Nachum is extremely comprehensive, again, that his terminology, again, is so all-inclusive that Chazal try to look for acrostics within Nachum. Again, and this is important because whenever you find the acrostic employed, again, and by this I mean the alphabet structure, right, you're familiar with this, that we have only a few pukim in all of Tanakh. Again, we have Kuf Mem Hei, we have Echa, again, Aleph Bet, a triple acrostic in Perek Gimel, Dalet, even Perek Hei still has 22 letters. So Chazal try to see that maybe, again, Nachum, again, despite his very brief terminology, is really trying to be all-comprehensive. Again, you don't have to look at that midrash, which is a clearly hermeneutical method. All you have to do is look at Nachum itself, and you'll see just exactly how comprehensive he is. I want to thank Todd for the maps that you have before you, which is going to be, again, the map of how Ashur, if you remember, we discussed, may I just for a second? Thanks, Daniela. How Ashur came and destroyed. Remember I told you he's coming in from the Shomron. He destroys the Shomron. That's the map that you have before you. He goes all the way down to Afek. Devorah even suggested, remember, that maybe he cuts across the Mediterranean through Afek, that's Soma Tapuach. What do you know? That's exactly what he does. Then, and comes down from the mountains, right, from the mountains to the coast, what we call Shvelat Tahar, the areas of Yafo. We said this is much easier for an army to progress as such. And then it comes down to Lachish, right, which we saw in the Nevuah of Micha. Again, look at Lachish, Maresha, Moreshet Gat, all these ideas, all these places that we brought up in Micha. Do you remember this? Again, Moreshet Gat is the place of the Beit Govrin caves, Adulam, he mentioned, which today is on the back roads leading to Gush Etzion, for those who are familiar with this. Again, Azekah, he makes his way as well. By the way, you want to hear something amazing? How many of you have been to Beit Shemesh? That's what I figured. How many of you have been to the real Beit Shemesh? What I mean by this is Tel Shemesh, right across from Beit Shemesh of today. Excellent, right? You see the excavations? Again, this was a city, as you know, during the time of Shmuel. This is where they bring, again, the Plishtim return the Aron to this area. And over the years, they've also recognized that this is one, together with Lachish, one of the fortifications that Rehavam built up, again, that was already started to be built up during the time of Shlomo. We found numerous kadim, numerous pottery vessels there with the terminology of Lamelech, showing that this was a government city with a magistrate. Shlomo even built a water source over there. Again, a beautiful reservoir. You can even go and see the remains of that today. And in addition, again, over the past few years, together with Brooklyn University, University of Maryland, and Tel Aviv University, excavations have been done. And they dated, again, what really is the southeastern side of the city, which was the government buildings. And they were able to carbon date the charred stone. And anyone know what year it was carbon dated to?
606.
Close. Not the end of Nineveh, but when Ashur came and destroyed, you know this year? 705, right? And isn't that cool? Like my match. Like they were like, oh, 709, 707, 705. And everyone here in the universe was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is when Sancheirav came. And in fact, in Sefer Melachim, we hear about the destruction of the 48 cities, including Lachish, Maresha. Again, this we know from Micha. Again, and certainly Azekah, which wasn't totally conquered, but then Shemesh as well, Tel Shemesh. As we said, everyone else is going to gather around the area of Yerushalayim. So keep in mind, here you have the list of the 48 cities in addition to, again, the basic Masav Sancheirib. This is the background of Nachum. Nachum is living right after this time period, closer to about 668, the final blast of Ashurbanipal. Ashurbanipal, as we said, is the last of the strong kings of Assyria. After this, Assyria goes downhill. Again, that's the opportunity for Yoshiyahu's religious reform. And this will be significant as well because Ashurbanipal was known as the most cruel of all the Assyrian kings, which is saying a lot considering that his predecessors were cruel to begin with. We know in Assyrian Luchot, in their tablets, they wrote about how in 668, when they came and they took the wealth away from Mitzrayim, right, which in itself is telling you, oh my gosh, if they were able to strip Mitzrayim of their storehouses, then this is a very strong army. How they used to take their slaves and put them in cages on display like animals, and this is how they treated them. This is the background for Nachum. According to Chazal, Nachum was one of the slaves of Yisrael. Remember we said he's living in the northern part of Yisrael, one of the slaves of Yisrael that was taken to the northeastern Assyrian territories for the sake of assimilation. And I can only imagine a Navi in this state, again, just being inspired to give hope to his people ultimately about the fall of another nation. And to a certain degree, we saw this with Micha as well. After listing the various chataim of Bnei Yisrael, he spoke also about the fact that, don't worry, the day is going to come, Asher is going to be destroyed. And I just want to bring this up is, what seems to be a call for vengeance, and this is a very good introduction to Eicha, a call for vengeance in Tanakh is really a call for justice. We're not vengeful people. Again, if you remember, the end of Perek Aleph, the end of Perek Bet, the end of Perek Gimel, what do you know? The end of Perek Dalet of Eicha all ends with what? Hashem, look at what you did to us. You should do them to our enemies as well. You've all been saying Al Naro Bavel this week. How do we end Al Naro Bavel? Again, we talk about how our captive said, then what do we say at the end? Hashem, remember those terrible Edomites. They were the ones who said, Aru, Aru, Adha Yisoba. Remember them? They were the ones who recommended to the Babylonians that they raised the Beit HaMikdash to the ground. And then what do we say the last pasuk? A gruesome pasuk. Bat Bavel Hashduda. Remember the wild people of Bavel. Ashrei sheyishalem lach et gemulech shakamat lanu. Ashrei sheyochez menepitzato lalayach el hasela. This just proves that no one really knows what they're talking about. Because of what you say right before you bench. Again, what do we tell God? Gena, take out your vengeance on the people. Gena, why? Bat Bavel Hashduda. Ashrei. Lucky be the one. Sheyishalem lach et gemulech shakamat lanu. We're talking to Bavel. Lucky be the ones who take out, again, all the acrimonious manner in which you treated us. Again, and may you now see what it's like to be despised. Lucky be the one who takes your children by the hand and just throws them and smashes their skulls against the rock. Did you know that that's what it meant? Again, and that's a very gruesome ending. Okay, Baruch Atah Hashem, you know, Hazana Takor. Again, notice this. So is that what we want? We really want to take the Babylonian babies, their infants, and like the Germans did, again, just smash their skulls? Is that what we want to do? No. Again, what do we want? We want Hashem to show us that he's a God of justice. How do we know if God is a God of justice? After they inflicted so much pain upon us, what would justice be? That they should also be in such a situation of pain. Again, if they were tzaddikim, if they really recognized God, then and they were truly the vassal for Hashem to fulfill his word, then okay, that's one thing. But they are horrible, they're wicked, and this is what you're going to see now in Nachum. Masan in Beisefer Chazon, Nachum Halkoshi. We recognize a little bit of the ambiguous nature of Nachum, but truth be told, we don't have to know that much other than he is from the northern parts, and he's certainly going to be affected by the terrible atrocities inflicted by the Assyrians. El kano v'nokem Hashem. Nokem Hashem uval chema. Nokem Hashem l'tzarav. Hashem, you're a God. Notice, by the way, El kana pokei ravon avot al banim. Where are these midot from? The first luchot. Right, again, Hashem is a kilkana. Hashem, that's still part of who you are. Again, show us, allow us to see the vengeful aspect of you, but not on us. Nokem Hashem l'tzarav. You're supposed to take vengeance upon your enemies. No terhu lo oivav. You're supposed to watch over, again, what happens to them, so that, yes, nakama netira is allowed for them. Hashem erachapayim udol koach v'nakel lo yinakel. This is a beautiful synthesis between the statements and the words of the luchot rishonot and the luchot shniot. Again, the idea of having Hashem, you're an okay, don't forget about that part, but you're also erachapayim udol koach, again, referring to us. Again, v'naked lo yinaked. But you will not absolve people of sin. Now, generally, in the Yugimul Mitot Rachamon, we stop with, right, v'naked, right? You absolve, and we leave out lo yinaked. Because is God also one? Again, he is not the Christian, all-benevolent God. You know this? Is our God a God who does inflict punishment? Yes, when we deserve it. So Nachum brings out, yes, Hashem, you're a vengeful God. You're also a God who has benevolence towards us, but you don't absolve everyone of sin. Hashem b'sufa, o b'she'arat darko, ve'anan avak v'adlav. Hashem, we know that you come with fierce fury as well. So why can't you let out this fury on the nations? Goer b'yam v'yapshehu. You can be angry at the waters and let them all dry up. Kol ha'narot techriv. You can dry up all the streams of Mla, Bashan, v'charmel. You can be miserable to the most lush areas, the northeastern area of Eretz Yisrael, known as the Bashan. Remember the parot of the Bashan in Amos? And the gorgeous area of the Carmel that we learned about in Yoel and Amos as well, that if things go bad in the Carmel, you know that things are really bad agriculturally. God, we've seen you be miserable towards the nicest areas in Eretz Yisrael. And this is beautiful because this also helps us date Nachum. Again, in the sense that we We've seen, again, Yoel Eliyahu times, how the Carmel has dried up. We've seen the Bashan dry up during Amos' time, Uferech Lebanon Umlal. You've even been miserable towards the lush greenery of the Lebanon, which, by the way, just keeping in mind, the various geographical references corroborates the fact that Nachum is obviously a citizen of the northern parts of Eretz Yisrael. Harim Rashu Mimenu. God, Genu, we have seen mountains quake from you. Hagva'ot Tzmogago. These are basic terms that you find in almost all Nevi'im, based on Shirat Hazinu. Batisa Ha'aretz Mipanav Etzavol V'chol Yoshveva. Lifnei Zamo Miyaman, who can stand in front of the wrath of God? Miyakom B'charon Apo. Chamaton Netcha Ke'esh. The wrath of God burns like fire. V'tzurim Netzu Mimenu. Tov Hashem L'ma'oz B'yom Tzara. It's good to use God as fortification on a day of evil, the Yodea Hosebo, because anyone who does associate with God will be protected by him. And when God comes with his fury, he can completely, again, demolish whatever is in front of him. Lo takum pa'amayim sara. So that an enemy will not be able to get up a second time. Yes, this reminds us again of Amos. Nefla lo tosif kum betulat Yisrael. Again, here Nachum takes that terminology and says, no, that's only relevant to whom? To our tzara, again, to our enemy that's there. Ki at sirim svuchim. This, by the way, is very interesting. We see this terminology of sirim. Again, he doesn't mean in Yirmiyahu, a sir nafuach is what?
A boiling pot.
A boiling pot, very nice. In Yishayahu, when Yishayahu uses sirim, he says, kol mechama kol hasirim. He talks about the waging war of the Assyrians being like, so, very nice, they're coming, so that's Yirmiyahu.
Yeah.
When Yishayahu talks about the enemies coming in, the sound of war being like the sound of, he could mean the sound of pots, but based on Nachum and Kohelet, I know that he's talking about something else. A seer is also a type of, it's almost like a seaweed plant that grows on a tree, like these berries. Again, some people also, again, I'm sure you're familiar with the phenomenon of a tapuach stom. Any of you see these in Eretz Yisrael? Anna, they're really quite fascinating. They're huge. They look like lemons. And they grow and grow. I'm serious. They look delicious. And you want to, all you want to do is pick them from the tree. When you pick them, though, when you open it up, they're completely hollow. Again, isn't that something? Not only that, but they actually have poisonous seeds inside. So you stay away from these tapuche stone. By the way, why they get the name tapuach stone? Anna, because exactly like some, oh, they look so alluring. Oh, yeah, it's gone, but no, they're offering you nothing. Even though I once went with someone when I was giving a tool, and he was an ophthalmologist, and he said that they do have qualitative powers to, like, heal certain eye diseases. Okay, but that's about it. In any case, back to this, the idea of sirim. So a sir is like a sir is a type of berry that when it's exposed to the sun, it swells up, and then, picture seaweed for a minute, and then it just bursts. So when this plant is exposed to the sun, you hear pop, 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 pop. Again, and when there are a lot of sirim around, it sounds very scary, right? Kekol hasirim, kekol hamachama, kekol hasirim. This, in context, definitely fits better, again, with what Nachum is trying to say over here. Pots don't really make any sense here. By the way, I also mentioned Kohelet, where in Kohelet, he talks about the kol of the ksil, the foolish person, sounds like kekol hasirim. Again, so he means maybe pots, that they're all really, again, he's just making a lot of cacophony, again, or that he means they're like these bushes that are completely hollow, and that's like the foolish person. Okay, back to this. Ki at sirim svuchim. So, until they reach the stage, really, of sirim svuchim, just like, again, the fire, again, is able to burn all these thorns and these sirim, and so too, again, Hashem is going to destroy ukisavam svuim, specifically when they are the most satisfied, uklu kekashya veshmale, again, like, again, these, they're a type of, again, of a plant that grows with thorns, so when the fire hits, they're consumed immediately like dry straw. This is what happens to all those like Nineveh who are so inundated or intoxicated with their own evil that Hashem is going to come because of their evil advice, because, again, of what they did to others. That now takes us to the next parashia. Ko amar Hashem, im shlemim v'chein rabim, despite the fact that they think that they're perfect. Again, qualitatively and quantitative, v'chein agozu v'avar v'nitech lo amech od. So here, Hashem indeed is going to switch them, and Hashem says, again, based on what Asher did to you, I won't oppress you ever again. This obviously is nechama, both for us to hear about the downfall of Ashur, and simultaneously that God will stop our oppression. Now, keep in mind that the most apropos time to talk about this is obviously when the people are in their nadir of depression, right? When they're in their worst point. Bata eshbor moteh omalayach, Hashem says, from here on in, I'm going to weaken Ashur, umosratech anatech, and all their shackles I'm going to break. V'tziva alayach Hashem, lo yisra mishmacha od mibeit alukecha, ach mitpesel masecha, asim kibracha ki kalota. Again, talking here about Ashur. He's going to make all their houses of God, their own kvarim, their own graves. Gena ki kalota, because now you're going to become, again, kalota, now you're going to be degraded. And with this, he now continues in Perek Bet with a little bit more depictive terminology. How will this happen? How will a huge empire that oppressed us so much be punished in such a great regard? So keep in mind that Perek Aleph is a beautiful introduction to the Midot of Hashem, wherein Hashem, you should not tolerate such disgusting behavior, such oppression. So it's going to go hand in hand with a general term of Nechama for Am Yisrael, but now he's going to speak about it. And because I hear now, already over the mountains, the heralds are coming, Mashmiya Shalom. And he is going to speak words of peace. The days are going to come when we're going to be able to celebrate our Chagim, the Chagim of Yehuda again. And by the way, I thought he's from the north, so what does he really care about? Chagei Yehuda Chagayach. The Chagim of Yehuda will be your Chagim. So one understanding is that Yehuda isn't yet destroyed, so he's telling the people of the Shomron, people of Yehuda, very nice, how the people of Yehuda, again, still get to celebrate. Well, guess what? You too, people of Shomron, you're going to be able to celebrate soon as well. But, again, just like Tani said, the other idea is you're going to be a unified kingdom. You're going to celebrate together with Yehuda again. You're going to go back to the Beit HaMikdash. You'll be able to bring your Nedarim again. And you're not going to have Asher bothering you because they're going to be destroyed. So now it's time to, Gena, to regird your strength over here. I want you now to play scouts. Gena, because you're going to see, again, the whole area of Yehuda and Ephraim. Because it's time. Time for what? Time to restore your glory. Because God is now going to get rid of all of their glory, of all of their zmora, and referring to their agriculture. God is going to come on the day that they prepare their chariots, again, that are sparkling like fire. Again, they're going to come and they're going to take their chanitot, their spears that were made from, again, you have to remember, not all metals, but also different types of a brosh, elu, and now things are going to start to shake up. Very, very nice. So there's a double terminology over here. Really means also to shake, again, but also that they poison. This you know also from, I don't know, plenty of Shakespearean films, that what do they do at the tips of their swords? They dip it in poison. Gena, so this is a reference to Habroshim Haralu. Bachutoti talalo harechav yishtakukun barchavot marim plachitim kibrakun yaratzeitu. Gena, they're going to come out with their sparkling, Gena, lightning type of armor. Yiskor adirav yikashlu balichotam yimaru chamota. But as they're reminded, Gena, of their own strength, again, what will happen to them in the pinnacle of their glory, again, they're going to fail. Yimaru chamota hu cham hasochech. Again, they're going to run to their chumah, to their fortified cities, and hachim hasochech. Again, this idea of protection. Again, they're going to run for fortification. Sharei ha-ne'arot niftachu v'hechal namog. The dams are going to open up, and this is obviously figurative, and the hechal is going to, again, their different areas of protection are going to melt. Tutzav gulta holta amoteha minhagot kukol yomim mitafot alavavehen. They're going to hear, again, their anxiety is going to build up. It's going to sound like pigeons that are fluttering, again, that are always so nervous. Again, that's what they're going to feel. Ninve kibrechat mayim meimehi v'hima nasim imdu amot v'imafneh. They're going to become like an open stream. Keep in mind that Ninve is a port city. So basically, your city is going to flood. Now, this isn't what happened. This isn't how Ninve was destroyed. They were destroyed by war. But again, the idea of complete destruction within the city. Again, they're going to run away, and there isn't going to be anywhere to turn. They're going to end up mocking whatever monies they have because it's not going to help them much. Their plans are going to fail as well. All their beautiful wealth and glory is going to be lost. What do we call this, by the way? Lashon nofela lashon. And the terms that repeat themselves over and over again over here. And their hearts are going to melt, and their knees are going to tremble and fall. worse. Upikra kayim v'chal chala b'chol matzmaim. They're going to get very, very nauseous. They're going to start to shake all over. Ufnei kulam kipsu farur. And they're all going to turn. Again, farur is like a gray, blank look that they're going to have on their faces. They already are going to recognize that their destruction has come. Ayeh ma'on arayot umarehu lakfirim asher halach ayeh lavisham gor ayeh ve'in macharid. And this is when he now turns to them and says that Nineveh, who was once, they were the lions of society. They were the ones who would go about and attack their prey. But now what's going to happen? Then they're going to, where's their lion's den to return to? They have no place to go. Aryeh toref b'dei gorotav machanik levotav, the same Aryeh who used to attack, again, together with his cubs, who used to go. And then even, again, this idea of what he would do to the Leviot. Again, according to some, provide for the Leviot, v'yamalei terev chorav u'monotov treifav. Those same glorious lions, hineni alayach namashem tzvot tevarti b'ashan uchba, I'm going to destroy you entirely. Your rechav, which as you know is always the bastion for strength in an army, is going to be ablaze. Ukfirayach tochal charev, your own kfirim, your own lion cubs, are going to be consumed. Techratim eretz tarpech, your prey will be gone. V'lo yishma'o kol malachacha. And all of your malachim, all of your shlichim, basically, again, even those vassals of the king of Ashur. Anyone know who, for example, was a messenger of Ashur? If you remember from the time of Chizkiyahu, Rav Sheka, right, who came to warn about the fall of Yerushalayim. So what the Assyrians used to do was literally send messengers to intimidate the people before they would come and conquer them. So they're going to be gone as well, Perikimol. Hoy ir damim kula kachash perek mle'a lo yamishterif. Now, again, God is upon you. You're going to be, again, a place of damim, of complete destruction. Nothing is going to get away. Lo yamishterif. Again, the idea of lo yamishterif. There won't be lo yachuba shover retzach. Nothing is going to happen. Kol shat v'kol rash. Ofen vasus doher merkava merakeda. The same place where you heard, again, the sounds of the horses and the chariots riding through paras malav v'lahav cheriv uverak chanit v'rov chalal v'chovet peger v'im ketzel agvia. That's going to be the same place where you're going to have corpses all over, and there won't be, again, a number even given for the amount of dead people. Yikashul b'gviatam mirov znunei zona tovatchein v'alak shafim ha-mocheret goyim b'znunei ha-mishbachot b'chashafeha. You who lauded yourself in all these powers and sorcerers, and again, who had all these ba'alak shafim, hineni alayich num Hashem. I'm going to show you that there's no strength to any of them whatsoever. Hamocheret goyim, again, the same ones who used to buy goyim with us. What do I mean by this? If you turn again to the speech of Rav Sheka in Sefer Melachim, you see that Rav Sheka talks about how God appeared to me. We have these awesome powers, and God told me that Yerushalayim ultimately is going to fall, just like the other 48 cities of Yehuda have filled. So Hashem says, oh really, now let's see what happens to you and your sorcerers. I'm against you. Giliti shulayach al panayach pasukei. Harietech goyim ma'arech. Everyone's going to see your cruelsome and your ugliness. Omamlachot klonech. I'm going to expose your, again, your cologne, your embarrassment to all the other goyim. Hishlachti alay shekutzim. I'm going to send disgusting things towards you. V'nevaltich v'samtich kiroi. Bayat kol ro'ayach. Notice the play on words. Ro'i, ro'ayach. This is known as anadiplosis. When you end a pasuk and then you start it the same way. Ye hayidod mimech. I'm going to take all those who once, again, glorified with you. They're also going to be embarrassed as well. Yidod mimech. They're all going to be taken away from you. This idea of, again, obviously, the extreme demise here, the association with Usher, which is going to become disgusting in and of itself. Amar Shadida Nineveh. People are going to say, I can't believe it. Nineveh, the capital city of Ashur, which, by the way, lasted really only a little more than 100 years. But Nineveh is going to be destroyed. Now, keep in mind that this is about 50 years before the destruction of Nineveh, but relative to Nevuah history, that's quite soon. And when Nachum says this, he says, I see it. I see Nineveh then basically be destroyed, but Mia Nudla, Yirmiyahu also mentions this, unfortunately, in Echa. But no one's going to be saying, oy vey. Why isn't anyone going to say, oy vey, I can't believe a glorious city has been destroyed? Because they're so cruel. Meaning, everyone's going to say, yes, this is what Nineveh deserves. It reminds me a little, remember the two scenes that you saw when the Twin Towers were destroyed? So, when you have people like throughout the world just in shock, I can't believe this happened to New York. Why? New York, New York. Again, because I love New York. And this is New York. This is a world power, the Trade Center. And in the meantime, they showed you on television screens, right, those foot screens, of what was going on in the streets of Cairo. And celebration, because they hate New York. They hate, again, Western values, fachulei. So, don't worry, people are going to be dancing in the streets when Nineveh falls. And he's going to describe this right now. Where am I going to find people to comfort you? No one's going to comfort. Everyone's going to dance. Hetivi Mino Amon. Do you think you're better than Mino Amon? Mino Amon was a huge castle. And in the area of, Gena, if I remember correctly, in the area of Mitzrayim. Gena was Mino Amon, but this was also a huge fortification that was destroyed. Gena, only years earlier, Amos also mentioned this, Hayoshvim Bayaurim Mayim Savivla. Gena, Mino Amon, this fortification in Mitzrayim, which was, again, completely surrounded by waters. La Asher Chel Yam Miyam Chomata. And it was a towering fortress over the waters. And what happened to that? Kushatma Mitzrayim ve'in ketza put v'levim hayu bezratech. The people who were once your allies, gam hi lagola halchu b'shevi. They too are going to fall. Gam olah hayu tishu b'rosh kochutzot. Even the young ones, basically, the last of you, right? Olalim are the last of the grapes that are taken. Kochut are going to be gone. Kochutzot ve'al nechbadeha yadu goral v'chok doleha v'tku b'zikim. Everyone is going to be destroyed. Gam at you too are going to be, the term here is you're going to be intoxicated, you're going to be drunken. This is a very, very common metaphor that Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel will mention, referring to the kos hachima, the cup of wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that ultimately again exhibits itself in when Hashem gets really angry. What happens to the cup of wrath? It overflows, that's right, and that basically intoxicates the people, not out of a sense of joy, of drunkenness, but rather they're so numbed, right? We saw this in Hosea, Vishatu Vilau Vahayu Kalohayu. Do you remember that play on words? They're going to drink and become full, and then they're going to be as if they never existed. So this is the terminology when we refer to Yirmiyahu as well. Shvoch hamatzal hagoyim asher lo yidaticha, on the night of the Seder. The same terminology of this cup of wrath. By the way, Steinbeck got the idea of grapes of wrath, again, obviously from this biblical terminology. This cup of wrath of Hashem, that we want Hashem ultimately to spill against the goyim. So this is the reference here in Achum as well. You are going to be intoxicated. You are going to be, whether you like it or not, drinking. Again, this kos tishkari, you're going to become so drunk that tihina lama. You're going to disappear. And you too are going to look for fortification from the enemy. Again, the you too is a reference to, we've been there. Again, and there isn't any fortification that we found, so to you. Come with tzarech, te'inim, imbikurim, all of you. Again, and all of your fortifications, the te'inim, together with the pikurim, meaning the best of you, the best of society, im yunov v'naflo al pi ochel, you're all going to fall al pi ochel. This is an interesting term as well. Again, the idea of, again, each one according to what he's trying to eat. Hinei amech nashim v'kirbech, lo'ovayech patoch niftachu sharei artzech. So now your land is going to be vulnerable for whoever wants to come in. Achla ish v'richayech. And they're all going to come to destroy even the strongest of your fortholds. Mi matzor sh'avilach chaski miftarayach. You're going to drink, again, the main matzor, the waters of a siege. And this is particularly gruesome for Ashur. That is, you know, one of their common methods of attack was, and Lachish, Yerushalayim, was to build the siege. Wait till you see what it's like to drink the water of the siege. What's the water of the siege like?
It's dirty.
Again, dirty, disgusting. You search for whatever water is there. Again, go and draw it out. Chaskim v'tsarayach. This is your time, Ashur. You're going to try to strengthen your fortifications. Boy batit v'mtzi v'chomer hachazikim albein. If I were you, I would start to build up those fortifications. Get your cement. Get your bricks ready. Sham tochlech esh. But I hate to tell you, it's not going to help you because the fire is going to come anyway. Tachvit v'cherev tochlech kiyala kitz kabed kiyala kitz kabi karbe. These are all the species of locusts that you should be familiar with. Ram? Already, Yoel, excellent. Again, get ready because the grasshoppers are going to attack. You can imagine that this pasuk is referred to by the parshanim who want to say in Yoel that the mashal of the locust is really a mashal for enemy attack, right? Because it's not just talking about agricultural demise. It's talking, obviously, in this context of enemy invasion. Here, beit rochlech mikochvei hashamayim yelek pashat v'ya'of. People are going to come walking through. Again, all these different... Again, the rochlim, the traders, are going to walk through your land. They're going to be so many. Again, that's what he's saying. They're like the yelek hashat bayaf. They're going to come. They're going to take advantage of your resources, and off they go. Min izrayach ka'arbe v'tafsarech kigol goveh hachamim v'gderoth bayam karasham esachav v'nodav v'lon nadam v'kom ayam. You're not even going to know where all these people have come from, but they're going to come and strip you. Namu ro'ayach melech ashur. And lastly, again, the monarchy is going to fall as well. All of your shepherds, your leaders, Ishkenu Adirayach, Nafshu Amcha Al Harim, the Emek HaBeitz, people are going to run away, and there isn't going to be a leader to find them. And that is a beautiful mouse. Excellent. You're not going to have any bandages to bandage you up. No creams to serve as a bomb. People, again, this is a reference to dancing in the streets. People are going to clap. People are going to applaud your downfall. Because over whom have you not, again, sent over your ra'ah, again, because of the terrible disgrace, because of the evil that you inflicted on others, again, on a constant basis, this is going to be the midah keneged midah. There isn't a single Navi who really talks like this. By this I mean three prakim straight of nechama that are expressed through nekama. Right? So you always find a few selections, and therefore if you're ever looking, when you look at the end of any parak of nevuah for a cry for nekama, again, just recognize that very often it's learned from Nechum, right? Because he is going to pasuk after pasuk. Again, that's why you really read these quickly, because you find these terms in almost every nevuah, but never in such a concentrated form. Again, the idea of Nechum, I always imagine him as a Navi going on, again, one of these cattle cars. Yeah, that's really how I picture it. And he's in a cattle car with the other people going off to death camps. And what is he telling them in the cattle car? Don't worry. Again, God's going to destroy the Germans. Don't worry, I'm telling you. Again, they're going to be killed and people are going to applaud their downfall. And Hashem is going to have rachamim on us. And that basically is his message to the people who are suffering during the time of Ashur. And the only thing that he can offer them, again, it's too late to encourage them to do tshuva. Again, they really notice that he doesn't really address them other than the first few psukim. Ultimately, to tell them that at this stage, there's only the nechama of the fall of Ashur to look towards. And therefore, nechama is always looked to, again, really during this time of Puranut, to seek a little bit of nechama. And I said I was going to connect it to Dvarim. If you remember in this week's parsha, Moshe calls out the famous words of, we always read this parsha before Tisha B'Av, Echa esal avadi et ha'am hazeh, right, that cry of Echa. And then ultimately, what's very interesting is that he does rebuke them, right? He says, it's your fault that I'm not going into Eretz Yisrael because of Chet HaMeraglim, and because, again, really, they're responsible for him not going in. Again, the idea of Chet HaMeraglim expressing a lack of respect for leadership, a lack of authority, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to use the opportunity at the beginning of Devarim to offer them Tochacha. And we're supposed to be learning from Shabbat Chazon, obviously the Tochacha. If you look carefully through the speech of Moshe Rabbeinu, he then goes through what's known as a laundry list of mitzvot, followed by a very, very long Tochacha. Again, that ends with Shirat HaAzinu, which is primarily Tochacha, but how does it end? V'nakam Hashem etzarav v'chiper admato amo. Notice that even the beautiful song of Hazinu, the song wherein Moshe rebukes Am Yisrael, Vayishman Yishurun Vayivat, you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael and you're going to become so self-absorbed. He says, but don't worry. At the end, V'nakam Hashem etzarav, Hashem will take vengeance over his enemies, V'chiper admato amo, and during that time, he'll allow the Lamb to atone for the sins of the nation. And perhaps that's where Nachum then understands that he's justified in doing this, that after the Tochacha and after all the punishments, he follows more or less the rubric of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he ends with those words of Nechama. So on that note, Shabbat Shalom. I hope that all of you, then I know that this was supposed to be a Parsha Shi'ur, but this way we'll be able to more or less finish all of the Nevuot, again taking us until Korban HaBayit, basically through Tisha B'Av, and by that I mean we'll learn Tzfaniyah on Tisha B'Av. Right afterwards, we're going to learn, as I mentioned, Chavakuk. On Shabbat, you have an opportunity, and I strongly encourage you to make sure that you finish your Shnayim Mitra V'Echa Targum. Excellent. Again, and the Shivrim on Shabbat, I'm sure will relate much more to the Parsha as well. But I hope that this brings us a little bit from the time period of Tochacha and ultimately to Nechama. And by this, I just want to mention that already on Tisha B'Av, which is a Nidche, and we already feel, again, after Chatzot, we definitely feel a certain sense of relief, and Chazal explained that the relief is because once HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, Am Yisrael realized, oh, he's not destroying us, he's destroying a building, right? And then we already start to rebuild. So to take Nachum with us, again, obviously through the Chorban, recognizing you shouldn't forget all the Tochacha of Yoel and Amos, and certainly Micha beforehand, but to recognize that there obviously is Nechama, that the Ezrat Hashem will come shortly. Shabbat Shalom. Okay, Beit Midrash, lunch outside.